Hi, thanks for listening to one of our Sunday talks from the Center for Spiritual Living in Midtown Atlanta. If this is your first time listening to one of our talks, we certainly hope you enjoy it. But if you're a regular listener to our podcast, we would like you to consider contributing to our center. It's easy to do. All you have to do is go on our website, and it's easy to find the button and make a contribution. That will allow us to continue bringing these talks to you on a regular basis in the future. Once again, thanks for listening.
For quite a number of years now, January has been the month when we go back and we take a fresh look at the basic principles of this teaching, which is technically called the science of mind, but it's new thought, what most of us have come to learn. And my teacher, Kennedy Schultz, I'm actually third generation doing this. My teacher's teacher, Dr. Raymond Charles Barker, did it for 30-some years. Somewhere along that time frame, my teacher, Dr. Kennedy Schultz, came down to Atlanta and did it for 20 years. So I heard it 13 times with Dr. Schultz, and this is my 17th time doing it over the last number of years. So this is number 30 for me. But the thing I love most is that every year it is different. And not only me saying that, people who have been, how many people here have heard this at least 10 times? 20? We got any 20s? Still got some 20s out there. That's great. I love it. The core material is the same. It's always different every year, but the core material is the same, but the approach is always different because the person giving the talk is different and the person hearing the talk is different. Every year, if we're growing, we hear things or say things at a totally different level. But the basic premise of what I'm going to be talking about is this is a philosophy based on the writings of Dr. Ernest Holmes. This is for those of you who may be new. And he lived and taught and wrote during the early part of the 1900s. He started around the time of World War I, 1917, and he talked and taught and spoke until his death in 1960. Dr. Holmes did not claim to be a guru or a prophet. His goal was not to bring to the world some grand spiritual revelation or religion that no one had ever seen before. Instead, he pointed out that there have been a lot of great spiritual teachers around for centuries in all sorts of different countries, cultures, and everything else, and that they've all been telling us the same thing in their own way, which is an interesting perspective. They've all been telling us to love each other and respect other people. They told us to love ourselves and to respect ourselves. They told us to enjoy life because it's a great gift that we've been given. They told us not to judge other people. And they told us to listen to live our life listening to the wisdom of our own mind and our own heart, because that's where spirit resides. That's what every great spiritual teacher of any lasting spiritual teaching taught. You see, to his way of thinking, Dr. Holmes' way of thinking, all of the other religious stuff, all of the stories and the commandments and the rules and the bells and the smells and the costumes and all that different stuff had absolutely nothing to do with God. Nothing at all to do with God. He said the only thing that's really important is our actual personal relationship with this invisible spiritual power that lies within and around all of life that we can see and all of life that we can't. In other words, he was asking, how can we integrate the physical world with the spiritual universe in an intelligent, scientific, an understandable way that brings forth the best of what we can be, both individually in our own lives and as a race of beings. Because his feeling was, if we could only do that much, okay, just that much, we'd probably be able to create for ourselves what you might call a paradise or a heaven on earth, and a pretty good result in whatever happens in the life that comes after this, which nobody really knows what it looks like. That's why I love talking about the basics every January, even though I've been in this teaching for 35 years, over half my life. What I love the most about this teaching has always been two things. It's clarity and it's simplicity. Clarity and simplicity. In fact, this teaching is extremely straightforward. Some people try to complicate it, including some of the ministers I know, but it really isn't that difficult once we get our own stuff out of the way. Okay, once we get our own stuff out of the way. But sometimes the simplest ideas can be the most difficult for us to understand, especially if we've never thought about things in a new way before. I know in my case, here's Catholic confession, okay, it took me a number of years to realize that I was learning way of living that could be simple, maybe simple, but it is also incredibly profound. It truly is. In fact, I have found that as I open up to these ideas more and more, and I've been doing it every year since I got into it, that the ideas open up to me even more in my life in ways that I could never have imagined. Or someone close to me says, this stuff works. Only she doesn't say stuff. She says, this works, you know, okay? Anyway. Now, another great, I see that every day. I see it every day, okay? Now, another great thing about this teaching is the learning process and the growth that comes from it never ends. Open at the Top was the name of Dr. Holmes's biography. Even today for me, after since 1984, so what's that, almost 34 years of practice, every so often I'm doing something and I realize that I've got this belief system that is limiting me. Who knows where it came from? I may have had that belief system for years, but stuff still keeps popping up. And as I use what I have learned in this teaching, in this way of thinking, to change the belief, to actually change the belief that's causing whatever the limitation is, to examine it, to go beyond the limitation, my life opens up. My life expands. That's the thing that's kept me interested for all these years, and that's what keeps me coming back to this place, whether I'm standing up here, which I've been doing for 20 years, or whether I'm sitting out there, which I did in the beginning, and I'm going to be doing the 1st of April, or the 8th, actually, okay? So, anyway. Now, as I go through this series of 4 talks this month, whether you're new here or whether you've been coming here for years, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make you a promise. If you decide, and the choice is entirely up to you, of course, to dedicate a reasonable amount of time and effort, and you decide how much is reasonable, into not only being exposed to this teaching, but learning it, understanding it, and using it in your daily life from here on out, you will see your life change dramatically for the better. Dramatically for the better. I promise. I promise, okay? You'll find that your energy and your passion for living on a daily basis are greater. You'll find that your relationships become deeper and richer and more meaningful, or some of them will disappear. Sometimes that's an improvement, you know, some of your relationships. You'll find that you're no longer limited to a certain level of success or prosperity by anybody else's idea of what you're worth. And in the process, you will become convinced, as I am and some of you are, that life is not a task to be endured, a struggle to be overcome, or a test to be passed. It is a journey to be enjoyed. That's what life should be. I've seen it happen for a lot of people time and time again. For years, I have seen people take what they have learned here, and some people came into this as an absolute mess. I'm here to tell you, and there's a few here, but I won't point them out anyway, okay? I have seen people use what they learned here to completely change their life or some aspect of their life. I have seen serious medical conditions healed or greatly improved many times. I could tell you stories of all of this. I have seen marriages and relationships that were completely on the rocks and one or both of them had a foot out the door turn into absolutely strong and loving relationships once again. I have seen several people, more than several, a number of people become extremely wealthy, creating very successful businesses out of nothing more than an idea and passion. Those two things, an idea and passion. So I guess what I'm saying is I don't just believe in this teaching because it's interesting, or it is interesting. I mean, no question about that, but that's not why I'm here. That's not why I believe it. I believe in it because it works. Joseph Campbell once said he was having a discussion with a Catholic priest, and the priest was asking him about faith, and Campbell says, I don't need faith, I have experience. Okay, I have seen this stuff work. It works in my life, and it works in the lives of other people who actually use it. Now, if you're relatively new here, and I see a few new faces, you might be asking, okay, that sounds good. How do I get started? All right, always a good question. The good news is that we can always start from where we are right now with nothing more than what we've got. In fact, that's the only place that we can start, okay? You just have to add a little bit of awareness and maybe a dash of intention, and you can learn what that is if you hang around here, and you will be on your way. And that actually is pretty good news because it means that we don't have to be any smarter than we are right now. We may have to act a little smarter than we do right now, but we don't have to be any smarter. We don't have to do anything else first. We can begin where we are with what we've got. All we have to do is to be willing to open our mind to a greater possibility, that's one, to a better way of thinking, that's two, and a better way of living. That's it, okay? Those three things. Once we begin doing those three things, what we're going to find is that we will be able to move to a higher level of thinking and being as long as we continue to keep our mind and our heart focused on a greater truth about God, a greater truth about the world, and a greater belief in our own ability to co-create with God, and you can learn how to do that here, a life that brings us all the things we desire. Okay? So that's kind of the foundation for all of this. You ready to get started with this, everybody? Good. Okay. Today, week one, the title of the talk is A Better Kind of God, because that's where it all starts. And in the next few weeks, I'll be talking about seeing the God in us, that's next week, seeing God in the world, that's week three, and then the living spirit of life, which sort of brings all those things together. These are the four basic ideas that Dr. Holmes used to explain his philosophy, and they are located, as many of you know, in the introduction of his book, The Science of Mind. You can get it on Amazon, get used copies fairly inexpensively. And the introduction has four sections. And the sections are the thing itself, the way it works, what it does, and how to use it. Those are the titles of the four sections, okay? And this four-part introduction to a pretty big book is only 36 pages. 36 pages, but for me, the first time I read it, which was the night before I was going to a retreat for the first time down in Amelia Island, we had this a number of years ago, the first time I read it, I couldn't stop. It was transformational. And my life was in pretty good shape at the time. I had a few issues I had to deal with, but it absolutely transformed everything. It was without a doubt the most significant material on spirituality that I had ever read, and I had read a lot of stuff. I had been looking for a long time. But I do have to admit, I did not jump right into it. Okay? I liked it. First time I heard it, heard Kennedy Schultz talking up on the stage, I knew I was in the right place. But, you know, the book, I thumbed through it at the bookstore, you know, it looks interesting, but I had a whole stack of books on my nightstand already. How many people got a stack of books on their nightstand? Okay. That's who we are. All right. It's also a pretty big book to put in a suitcase, and I was traveling every week, and I didn't have to pull it out. Isn't it amazing the excuses we come up with to not do stuff that's good for us? But at first, I came to service every Sunday or so if I was in town, if I wasn't traveling. I put a couple dollars in the plate, whatever I happened to have with me in my pocket, and I picked up some pretty good information from the talks, but I didn't do a whole lot of reading about it. I figured the Sunday talks were good enough for me. That's what I thought at the time. Anyway, I finally decided after about 2 years to start taking some classes. So I bought the book, The Science of Mind, 1938 version. Check on that. And I sat down one evening and I started to read this introductory section, which is what I do. I always start at the beginning and I go straight through to the end. That's who I am, you know, whatever. And after the first 10 pages or so, which is the first section plus the second part of it, I felt like my head was about to explode. I really did. I remember it as clear as it was yesterday. It was about midnight. I had been reading because it's not a fast read if you're reading it for the first time. But that's when I started to get excited. I really got excited. You see, this individual, this philosopher, this modern-day mystic by the name of Ernest Holmes was talking about God in a way that made absolutely perfect sense to me. Perfect sense to me. In fact, it made far more sense to me than anything else anybody else had told me about God in my entire life. Now, it wasn't just that he was talking about a God who was all good and all loving and all powerful. I mean, I'd heard all that stuff before. I wasn't sure I believed it, but I'd heard it, you know, a number of different places. He was talking about God as a perfect creative intelligence, okay, as a power for good and only good, as the one source of life, of all life, that never withheld anything from anyone ever. Ooh, that was a good start, you know? This power we call God never judges us, it never gets angry with us, it never gives us anything but the best of itself all the time, and it does this for every single person equally, on the planet, no matter what religion they believe in, if any. If any. Now, that was pretty big for me, all of that stuff. He also expressed his belief that this power is not a person or a being of any kind. It is what he calls the universal life force. That's the scientific part. Einstein, a bunch of the other quantum physicists use the same term. And as energy, it is everywhere present all the time, and we're all able to use this power as much as we want. And it doesn't even mind being used. How cool is that, you know? In fact, he said this kind of God, get this, would rather be used than worshipped. That was new. Boy, that was really new for me. He even had a term for it. He used the term the thing itself. The thing itself, okay? The one thing from which all things come. And finally, he said that this creator was one with its creation. Okay, which means you and me and the world, everything. No distance, no separation, no down here, no up there, none of that stuff. Okay, and it blew me away. It didn't sound like anything I had heard from the nuns in catechism class. Okay, I remember that very clearly. Anyway, as soon as I read that much, I was hooked. Not because I learned something new and amazing, but because I was reading something that I had always believed. I just didn't know there was a place that talked about it. And I've heard other people, other friends say the same thing. In a way, we're all like the little girl at school with a teacher gets them. They're about 7, 8 years old, maybe second grade. And the teacher told them to draw a picture of somebody famous. So the kids get started and she's walking around looking. And there's this one girl who's got all her crayons and she's bent over there and she's drawing this picture. And the teacher said, well, who are you drawing? And she didn't even look up. She says, I'm drawing a picture of God. And the teacher goes, ooh, okay. She says, sweetheart. Nobody knows what God looks like. Little girl didn't look up. She says, that's okay. They'll know as soon as I'm finished. You know, we're all like that. We are. In the same way, the stuff that I read and from Dr. Holmes and all the writers that I've read since helped me to draw a picture of God in my own mind that I'd be happy to hang in my refrigerator. Really, really and truly. Now, most people who are attracted to this teaching and stay with it, because I know a bunch who are attracted and left when it wasn't what they thought they wanted, they love the sense of freedom that this idea of God brings. Because we all spent years, you know it as well as I do, being hammered by the image of a God who was not only male, he, right, but also old, unmarried, straight, and celibate. All right? That's the Catholic God I grew up with, you know, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll. It's no wonder he was in a bad mood all the time, you know. Now, a lot of people had a hard time identifying with a God like that. Of course they did, you know. Those people who kept telling us with the very best of intentions that we were made in the image and likeness of God, the truth was they were telling us about a God made in the image and likeness of them. They were, okay. The problem was, even if we didn't like the image that we were being shown, it's not that easy to reject a God that we have had ingrained in us since we're a small child. It's difficult for a lot of people, okay? It gets embedded in our psyche. It becomes a habit that's very, very hard to break. So that means if we want our concept of God to grow into something that we can actually identify with, we need something both intelligent and spiritually appealing to replace it with. That's what we need. We need a greater idea of God. That's what we need. Now, a lot of people, a lot of us, once we got into this, we still kept trying to pray to someone. We tried to get answers from someone or from somewhere, but that didn't seem to work very well. At least it didn't for me. Some of us, even when we got into this kind of new way of thinking, we tried to compromise. We tried to take these new ideas about oneness and God in us and all this kind of stuff and sort of superimpose all these human characteristics on top of it, okay, so we could still identify with the God we had as a kid. But that didn't work well either, and for good reason. Because if we are ever going to grow into a greater understanding of our own spiritual nature, which is what I think everybody in here probably wants, at some point we're going to have to give up this superhero image of God that we were taught. The Marvel version, you know, of God, that kind of thing, with all the limitations that that kind of an image carries with us. And we need to exchange it for a more open and inclusive idea that accepts God as a spiritual energy instead of as a being with a certain shape and size and personality and zip code and all those kind of things. We need to start thinking about God as a non-physical, intangible intelligence that has no limits. That has no limits. We can't just keep thinking of God as this bigger, stronger version of us that can see into the future and fly faster than a speeding bullet and all that other stuff. We can't do that anymore, okay? We have to start seeing God as a process, not a person, as a process that we can use, that we can actually use. We also have to, in order to make it meaningful to our human experience, which we need, we also have to accept that the power of love is an important part of this creative intelligence. And I don't mean romantic love or the love of a father for a child. I mean words like consistency, dependability, and support. That's what love truly is, okay? This power is, Dr. Holmes says, both love and law. It is both passion for living and intelligence. Both of those things, the two pillars, he says, that hold it up. The thoughts that move through our mind and the excitement for life that moves through our heart that we feel, these are God expressing itself in the world in the only way it can, which is through us and as us and as us. Like all of the great spiritual teachers, Dr. Holmes pointed out that the greatest obstacle that prevents us from understanding God in this way is our belief in something called duality. And you'll hear me use this term. Duality means, quite simply, more than one. Okay, it means two things that are separate from one another. One thing here, the other one over there. And in regard to the kind of God we're talking about, duality does not apply. It doesn't apply to God, it doesn't apply to us, and it doesn't apply to the world. You see, if this creative power is the only thing there is, the only power there is, if it's all the substance and all the intelligence that exists, then the entire universe has to be one unified thing, totally interconnected, the thing itself, the thing itself. If we believe in a God up there and us down here, if we believe in the power of good over here fighting an equally strong power of evil over there, the ongoing kind of battle, okay, then that would have to mean there was more than one, which there isn't, okay? That's what we call oneness, all right? God doesn't fight itself. It doesn't compete itself. It just is. It just is, all right? There can't be part of God here and part of God there. As I heard, you know, for the kids, we were telling them there is no spot where God is not. It's a great affirmation, a great affirmation. If there's only one mind, one creative power, it has to be thinking and creating as all of its creation, which is what we are. Now, needless to say, I'm telling you the same thing from several different directions, okay? That's a very different idea of God than most of us were raised with, okay? But it's the only kind of God that makes sense to me. That's why this teaching appealed to me, because an infinite intelligence, by definition, is intelligent. It is intelligent. Now, there's several reasons why this is important for us to understand, especially if we want our own spiritual understanding to rise to a new level again and again and again, okay? What this means is we never again have to search for God or to try to get God's attention, okay? We never have to change God's mind. We never have to beg or bargain with God. And we never have to worry about being in a situation where all the power we need, all the power of life is not available to us. Because it always is. Always, always, always. But most important of all, and just get this if you don't get anything else today, it means that every single one of us is actually an individual expression of God interacting with other individual expressions of God to create this thing that we call life. That's what we are. Emerson said, you know, when I'm talking to my neighbor, I'm conscious of God speaking to God over our shoulders. All one, okay? It's also the process of creation. This power is not just the creator, it is also the process of creation and the creation itself. That's the real Trinity. Creator, creation, process of creation, okay? That's what it is. And it's all one. It's all one, okay? Or as Dr. Holmes said so very clearly, the thing we are looking for is the thing we are looking with. We are God interacting with itself. That's what we are. That's what the world is. I'll talk more about that next week. Now, the real kicker here, okay, the thing we need to be clear about is that this kind of God doesn't decide what's going to happen in our life or in the world. We do. It doesn't have anything to do with it. It's already done everything it needs to do. We ourselves, by virtue of our intelligence, our free will, and our ability to put our emotional energy behind our choices, good or bad, once again, have total freedom and total responsibility for what we create around us and how we deal with it. Those two things. Apply this to the world, to politics and war and all these different things we see. And the presence of God as us is what sets this process in motion. That's what sets this process in motion. This power has already given us everything we need to do anything that we decide to do. It has given us unconditional support. It has given us the total freedom to make choices, any choice we want. And it has provided us with an incredibly abundant universe of infinite possibility. So it doesn't have anything more to give, and it would never give us any less, ever. So the question is, if we've all got all of this freedom and all of this power at our disposal to do good and all this, then why are there so many people suffering in the world? Okay? Why? And why do some people, few people have so much and so many people have so little? Why are so many people in the world trapped in poverty, crippled by illness, or living without any love in their life? These are big questions. These are big spiritual questions. And they need to be asked. They are legitimate questions. But the only answer that some people can accept, because this is what they were taught, is that God must not treat everybody equally, or that God likes some people better than others. Okay? But that's too limited a solution. It really, really is. And we're talking about here about a power that has no limits. So there has to be a better answer, and there is. And there is. There is a better answer that makes perfect sense, but there are a lot of people who don't like it. And if you go out and start talking to some of your friends, you will find that out. Okay? So I recommend you don't. All right? Anyway. Because the answer to the question, why is my life the way it is not because of anything outside of us, as Angela was saying. It's not determined by our family background or our gender or our race or our life circumstances, and it's not determined by what God wants for us or doesn't want for us either. The answer to why life is the way it is depends quite simply upon what we believe about God and what we believe about ourselves as we relate to God. As we relate to God. That's why Dr. Holmes writes in this section, to give you a taste of it, he said, "The answer is not that God has responded to some and not to others, but that some have responded to God more than others." It's a great statement, really a great statement. The truth is, this power can only do for us in our life what we allow it to do. And what we allow it to do is limited by what we believe it can do and what we believe we deserve. There it is. In other words, if our idea of God is limited, like the image we believed in as children, then our life will also be limited because our life can never be greater than our concept of God. Never, never, never. However, if we believe that God, this power that we're talking about, is infinite mind, if we believe that God is, I once read, life, love, light, peace, power, beauty, and joy. I thought that was kind of catchy, the way it rolls off your tongue. If we believe that this power is pure consciousness, endlessly evolving in the world, in, as, and through us, that gives us more to work with. It empowers us. That's what we'll talk about next week. In a way, the visual image that came to me when I was putting this talk together is like standing in front of a dam with a huge body of water behind it, okay? The water is God, the dam is our limitations that we have set up. So if we want to break through these limitations and we put a little tiny hole in the dam, how much water are we going to get? Just a little bit dripping through. But if you make a big hole and you let the water, or God, come through the dam or your limitations, not only will more water come through, the water will widen the hole, and there's no limit to the size of the hole or the amount of water. That's really what we need to do. In the same way, when we open ourselves up to this power, we'll get just as much love in our life, just as much wealth in our life, just as much success as we are open to, no more and no less. That's what we'll get. Because our mind is the mind of God functioning at the level of our perception, of our acceptance, of our understanding, okay? Now, if this power doesn't seem to be working for us, if it seems to be blocked in some way, or it seems to be creating things in our life that we don't want, that doesn't mean that it isn't powerful or intelligent or willing to work for us in a better way. It just means that we haven't opened ourselves up to it enough to create what we want to create. Whereas Dr. Holmes says, our belief sets the limit of a principle that is itself without limit. Our belief sets the limit of a principle that is without limit. Now, so I want to invite everyone here to spend some time this month getting reacquainted with your understanding of what this higher power that you have, the image you have, the picture you have, means to you. Go online and read the stuff if you can. If you don't like the G word, some people don't like to hear the God word, find another word. Call it Allah, call it Yahweh, call it Jerome, whatever you want to call it. You know, give it a name, whatever name you want. Just focus your attention on a power that is greater than you are that you can use, that you can use. Read or reread the Introduction to the Science of Mind text. It is online for free, okay? No excuses. If you choose not to, that's fine, but it's there and it's free, okay? And as a practical exercise, because this is a practical teaching, I want you to make an extra effort to see the presence of this power in everything around you this week, okay? In the people you're with, your friends, your neighbors, and the people at work, in traffic, okay? In your own body, in the news, in the Alabama football team that we're going to take care of tomorrow, okay? In your beliefs about money, in your beliefs about relationships, and see if the way that you are thinking about God in those things fits with the greater idea of God that I've been talking about this morning. If it doesn't, and you got to be honest with yourself, if you can't be honest with yourself, it doesn't work. First, make sure that your idea of God is a healthy and productive one, and then change your mind in whatever way is necessary to live your life every moment of every day as if you had all the support and all of the knowledge and all of the power of the universe, that's a lot, at your disposal, at your disposal. Because you do, and so do I. And that's a wonderful thing to know. Next week we'll do part two, but this is the truth in your life and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. All right. Thank you. All right. A lot of information. Some of us have been thinking of this for years, but for some of you it may be a little newer. It doesn't really matter. It is what it is. Let's just take this moment and recognize that God, Spirit, life, whatever name we want to call it, is all there is. Everywhere. Everywhere I go, everything I see, everything I do, every thought I have, every emotion that I have has around it and underneath it and within it a desire for life to expand. So even when my thoughts are not productive or they're negative, I recognize that I have the ability to change them. I have the ability to focus on whatever part of life that I want. I can see bad and recognize the goodness that wants to exist and exists all around it. I can hear negative things and allow myself to focus on the true positive aspects of life that I choose to focus on. This is the power I have. The power to recognize that goodness is the true nature of life and that what people call evil is simply ignorance that will eventually implode upon itself. So as I exist in the world, whether it's the world of work, the world of politics, the world of religion, whatever world that the human mind has created, I recognize that there is something in me that sees something greater. as I accept this power, this energy, not just in me, but everywhere I look, I bring it with me. And I change my life and I change the world. This is the power I have. I have the ability to be a positive, energetic, healthy, prosperous, loved and loving being because I am a spiritual being first. This amazing body I have been given is simply an opportunity for me to use the spiritual part of my being here in this physical world. So I use it well. I make good decisions in my relationships. I make good decisions with my health and my body. I make good decisions with my money and my prosperity. I make good decisions in everything I do. And those decisions are the best part of me, the God part of me, coming through me, and they're always available. So knowing this, I accept this truth. I recognize that any limitation in my life is self-imposed and I can simply grow beyond it. I recognize that all good has been given to me and that I am able to create life in a better way in every way around me. This is my truth. I accept it and I release it into consciousness, letting it be so. Please join me in saying, and so it is.